Then the Lord sent Nathan, the prophet, to David to account for his actions. And upon his broken acknowledgement of his sin, David penned this psalm. So let's look at these verses specifically. So in verse 10, create in me a pure heart. So this language gives the image of Genesis, of creation. In fact, this create word is the same one that is used in Genesis that means to make something from nothing. And from in our spiritually dead state, God can create beauty and life. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And then in verse 11, cast me not away from my presence. Again, we have an image from the Genesis story. David recognizes that true joy is being in God's presence. And he understands that sin has broken this union between himself and God. And in dramatic, faithful, and expectant language, as bad as David's actions were, he calls upon the character of God, whom he knows will not desert him. And this image of casting away reminds us that humans were cast out of God's presence when Adam and Eve originally sinned in the Garden of Eden. But in God's mercy, that eviction was not final. God's presence has been restored to believers through the Holy Spirit, who in this passage God calls on. And in verse 12, the joy of salvation restored. David is grieving and repentant, and he boldly asks God to restore the joy of salvation, having been deeply convicted of his sin. And verse 13, then. I love this word, then. Then a renewed experience of God's deliverance, provision, and salvation should cause a then in our life too. When our joy of his salvation is renewed, we can't help but respond in ways that draw others to the King. And then in verse 14, David's acknowledging the gravity of his sin. He understands that his actions, the consequences deserved, are death. He also knows that God has the power and the compassion to deliver him. In faith, he asks God to give him, to save him, and he expects and knows God will do it. And this same God who delivered David from his deserved death sentence offers the same pardon to me and to you. And then in verse 15, our right response to God's salvation is words. Words of praise. And sometimes those words are hard. It's hard for us to find the words, and we get to call on God to ask him to put those words in our mouth to praise him. And then in verse 16 and 17, rather than teaching on these, I'd like to just read these from the Message, because this is a beautiful translation. Verse 16 and 17, going through the motions doesn't please you. A flawless performance is nothing to you. I learned God worship when my pride was shattered. Heart-shattered lives, ready for love, don't for a moment escape God's notice. Restoring the joy of salvation won't come from putting on a show. It's the real heart work that sprouts renewal. Paul in 2 Corinthians 4:7 tells us that we have this treasure in jars of clay, just like this last song that we sang. And that's who we are. We're fragile jars of clay that by his grace, God chose to put his priceless treasure of the Holy Spirit inside of us. Our joy comes from our humility, from our hearts being open to tilling like soil that's rich for seeding, watering, and planting. Heart-shattered lives ready for love don't for a moment escape God's notice. So as we reflect back on these verses and the Psalm of David, we're going to go a little deeper into each of these three principles that we highlighted at the beginning. The first, God's presence as the pathway for renewal. So are you surprised that a message about restoring joy of salvation started out talking about sin? Are you surprised? So that wasn't where I expected that this message would go. In fact, I'm not comfortable talking about sin. I really hoped that Jesus was going to give me a lighthearted message about the joy of following him. So I don't really understand what God is up to, but I know that this phrase, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, is what he's been giving me for the last couple months. And it seems pretty clear that we can't handle this passage in Psalm 51 without wrestling with the tragedy of sin. And our culture prefers not to use the word sin. Instead, we use phrases like poor choices and bad decisions. But in Scripture, it's clear in Romans 3 that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Who would need salvation if there was nothing to be saved from? Can we experience joy without experiencing despair? It could be that you are someone who, at the mention of sin, you're feeling shame over something in your past, and in this moment, what you need to receive is the truth that you are forgiven. It could be that you're holding on to a sin pattern that the Holy Spirit is convicting you and asking you to repent from. Or maybe you're in a situation where you're moved to extend forgiveness to someone else who's hurt you by their words or their actions. It's important for us to go back to the very beginning. You are a child of God. You were created in his very image, beautifully, fearfully, and wonderfully made. You are seen and loved and valued by your Creator, who calls you daughter, who calls you son, who prepared you for a glorious inheritance. God forgave, redeemed, and restored David and brought him future blessing, including his future son Solomon, who became a great king of Israel, who built the first temple and is regarded for his wisdom. Romans 8 tells us there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Restoration of our joy is possible because of the great love and power of Jesus. God's forever plan, before he even created the construct of time, was for his presence to dwell among us, his very good and beloved human creation. This was true at the beginning when Adam and Eve communed with him in the garden. When Adam and Eve walked with God, there was no such thing as the joy of salvation, because instead, there was the joy of God's presence. Instead of salvation, they were together with God in his with his physical presence. And it was sin that created the barrier. Humans leaving God's presence due to our own selfish, independent, and self-reliant sin. And all humans born since then have inherited this condition of being absent from God's presence. But God, and I really think those are two of my favorite words in all of Scripture, but God. In Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This demonstration, this giving of his perfect son, Jesus, who's the exact representation of the Father, God places himself on the sacrificial altar to redeem this inherited condition of despair and absence from God's presence. He then gives himself again, his Holy Spirit, to the repentant who call on the name of the Lord for redemption. God himself in spirit, indwelling his creation again, his presence restored. And this is the joy of our salvation. We can never be good enough or strong enough or smart enough or right enough or rich enough or poor enough or fill in the blank. We can never be anything enough. Ephesians reminds us that it is by grace we have been saved. And this is the joy of our salvation. The unfailing love, undeserved mercy, and unmeasurable grace of our Father to restore us. And there's nothing we can do to chase it away. Again, in Romans, neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And that, friends, is the joy of our salvation. So our principle in this section is every renewal is about Jesus. Focus on Jesus anew to experience joy restored. So let's take a minute. Let's take a breath. Let's be silent for just a moment. Close your eyes. Picture Jesus. Where is he and what is he doing? How is the Holy Spirit right now bringing a fresh, renewed sense of who Jesus is? How is his sacrifice stirring a renewed experience of joy, of salvation for you? Okay, we'll move on to the second principle here, which is that God's people are participants in renewal. So David knew that his actions were wrong. But it was God's method to bring a prophet to stir conviction in David's heart. Another human who loved God and was called according to his purpose. It was Nathan who showed up, spoke truth, and then David's heart was changed. It was the boldness and love of Nathan to come to David to point him to truth and repentance. And 1 Chronicles 29 tells us that Nathan recorded events of David's reign as king. So I wonder if Nathan was a friend of David's. I wonder if he was someone who experienced life with David, a close companion who shared experiences. And this reminds me of the church. It reminds me of us being and making disciples together, helping each other work through those heart-shattered lives and encouraging each other to grow in love, obedience, and service to our King, offering and receiving forgiveness together. We need each other. We need community to tell stories and share tables and serve people and mess up and forgive each other and love and learn to be shaped more and more and more into lives that follow the patterns of King Jesus. And many of us are plugged into community groups, and some of us plugged into summer renewal groups. And it is our desire at Northeast to have everyone connected in a group. We're the body of Christ, and everyone has a part to play. And since our reappearing church study that we're doing in our groups will be wrapping up here at the end of July, you'll be hearing more very soon about what's to come next for groups here at Northeast. And this is our principle for this section. Walking together as God's people is a catalyst for restoring joy. What ways are you holding on to independence and self-reliance? In what ways am I doing that? And with whom and in what situations in your life are you ready to let others in? And if you're not yet part of a community or a renewal group, will you consider plugging in? And finally, here's our last section, section 3, prayer is the power of renewal. This psalm is a prayer. It's a faithful, desperate, authentic calling on the character of God prayer. David was completely at the end of himself. Remember, he was the powerful king, anointed by God to lead his chosen people. And then he committed adultery, murder, lies, and deception. His child had died. He was completely at the end of himself. But God. Though David endured tragic and long-lasting consequences of his sin, he knew that it was possible for joy to be renewed in his life. And David's method to moving toward that joy, toward experiencing again the presence of God, was through prayer. Prayer also draws us to renew our minds of who God is and what he does. So we're going to do a little group activity now. We're almost done, so hang with me just a couple more minutes. So if you have your Bible open or if you're in your Bible app, look at Psalm 51. Just browse through the whole psalm. Look at what pops out to you. Let's see how many attributes, how many descriptions of God we can find together from Psalm 51. So let's just start shouting them out. What do you see?
Compassionate.
Merciful.
Unfailing love.
Unfailing love in concert. Judge. He's just.
Faithful.
Delight. He delights. Couple more.
Cleanses.
And Savior. So individually and corporately, prayer is essential to renewal. And real talk here. Prayer is hard. So for me, I found a path that helps. And that help comes in the form of an app. It's Lectio 365. I like it because it prompts morning and night. It loudens scripture and prayer in my life and quiets some of the mindless scrolling. And at first, I wasn't really so much of a fan, and the reason is that each day in Lectio 365, it prompts for repentance. And I didn't like that, but I need that. And so I've come to really enjoy that app, and it's just one way. It might not be the way for you, but I would encourage you to develop a practice, a daily practice. And you know, sometimes without even realizing it, we're swept up into our culture, which shouts messages of self-reliance. But in Zechariah 4:6, we know that it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And the principle for this last section is that renewal is through God's power that we get to experience through prayer. So what situation in your life and in my life are we striving through that God's inviting us to talk to him about? And what seed of a prayer practice could sprout personally with you personally, individually, or with others? So in closing here, Grant is going to put one more picture up here. Taking us back to this illustration of renewal, the Highline Park in New York City, something continuing after it was paused. So this is my son, Sean, the day that we were there. And when I asked him what he remembers of this day, he described it as sunny, pretty, and simple. And remembering is a practice that can help us restore the joy of our salvation. So I'm going to now invite Doug Deller to come up, and he's going to lead us in remembering the Lord's table.